Let us look at 8 ways in which you can become a better SRE right now, immediately, quickly, right? Hey everyone, how's it going? Tarun here. You're probably listening to this as a podcast on, say, Spotify, Google Podcast, Anchor, or Apple Podcast. Or maybe you're watching the YouTube video on my Developer Tarun YouTube channel. Or probably you're reading the article on dev.2/developertarun or on my website, tarunshiv.com. But wherever you are, we are going to look at 8 ways in which you can become a better SRE. So this is from a non-technical perspective, okay? So this is really important because no matter how good you are in technical perspective, being an SRE or any job for that matter, there are a lot of non-technical attributes that you need to have in order to be better at the day-to-day work, you know, right? So let us start with it. So coming to the first point, SRE is all about mindset. This is the very, very important point about SRE here. SRE is all about the mindset. So when we talk about mindset, there are two main points I wanted to bring up. First of all, no blame game, right? So when you think about an SRE role, like when we saw about what the SRE are responsible for, we saw that they are responsible for like the entire life cycle of the infra, where they create, they monitor, they maintain, and they destroy. If you keenly look at it, these are all like, they also deal with production machines, and whatever they touch, they are actually prone to like, say, messing it up, right? Because when you have access to a production machine, that to a pseudo access, you can do anything on it, right? So in case anything goes wrong, or in case someone does a mistake on production or stage, no matter what, the first rule is no blame game. You should not blame them. As soon as there is a production issue or something, you should not blame the person like he is responsible for this. Why did you do it like that? All those things, right? The main aim should be to learn the lesson out of it. So what was the lesson? How do we prevent it the next time, right? So what was the issue? How did we fix it this time? And what are we going to do, or what steps are we taking in order to prevent it the next time? That should be the mindset. And the mindset should not be to blame someone, right? I hope that is clear. Now coming to thirst to solve. So we spoke about optimizations the SRE has to do in the infrastructure, right? There are a lot of things to optimize. There are issues where the SRE has to jump in and fix it, right? For all these things, a common key point is that the person who's working as an SRE should have the thirst to solve these things. He should be interested to do these things. Only then will he get a good mindset that the SRE needs. Right. Now coming to the second point, communication. So as an SRE, communication is very, very important, and over communication is not at all a problem. Say you are going to perform an activity, say you are going to upgrade Nginx to a higher version, the servers on the production. And there are a lot of teams that are using that. Say the developer team is using that, the site reliability engineer, the cross teams, they also have their configurations on that particular Nginx box and so on. Let's say you sent a mail a week ago that you're going to perform this activity on next month, say February 20th. So February 20 arrives, and without even informing anyone, you start the activity and you complete it, right? But you haven't sent a mail yet. You sent it like a month ago, and on Feb 20th, you directly went and did the activity. You might say that I have communicated through the mail, right, a month ago, but that is not enough, right? The ideal way would be like, you send a mail a month ago, that's fine. And then like a week ago, you'll have to give a heads up to whoever is involved there. And a day before the activity, you give a heads up that we're going to perform this activity. And on the day also, right before you start the activity, say 10 minutes before or 5 minutes before, you have to tell like you are starting with the activity. And once you're done with the activity, follow up on the same email thread or the Slack message or whatever kind of communication that you're using. To tell that the activity has been completed and we observed these, please reach back to us in case you're facing any issues, right? So that's one way to look at this. And if you're doing any kind of changes on stage or production or anything, document each and everything. If you have a Jira or some sort of say task management system, go there and keep it updated. It's not to show how many number of tasks that you have done, but it is to document the process. Say after like 6 months down the line, when you want to look at what has been changed on this system, you should have the ability to go to some sort of change management system and check what you have changed there, right? So have you modified this thing? Who has modified this thing? What was the reason for which we applied this configuration? All those things should be available, right? So that's the part of communication. And the second aspect regarding communication that I wanted to speak about is be kind and show empathy. So there might be people who are not aware of technologies at your infrastructure or who are new joinees, and they come to you and they ask doubts. It may be very silly doubt also, right? Even we would have back then had such doubts at our mind. The timelines might be different, okay? And that is perfectly all right. So you need to realize that it is perfectly all right. If you have time, please help them, give them the resources to learn from. I'm not asking you to sit with them and to babysit them. I'm asking you to, you can be kind to them. In case you're very busy, you can tell them no in a kind way, and you can ask them to reach out to someone relevant, or you can ask them to wait, and later when you find time, you can come back and give them the resources, right, as to how they can go ahead with, right, just the guidelines as to how they can go forward. So that would be a kind gesture. Say there are some other cross teams who has to give you certain requirements and you resolve their tickets, but they are being rude, okay, or you're interviewing someone and they are being rude. You should not lose your temper, or you should not lose yourself and respond to them in the same way as how rude they are, right? One reason for this is, say you're taking an interview and the candidate is rude to you, right? How will you react? You should not lose your temper and shout back at the candidate, because you are not a single entity there. You are representing your company when you interview someone. So there, if you lose your temper, all they will take out from the interview is, okay, PhonePe has these kind of people, or this company has these kinds of people. That is what they will think, right? But even if the candidate is rude, if you be yourself, if you be kind and humble, and say if the candidate is very rude and you're not able to go ahead with the interview, what will you do? You have to just tell them calmly, like, we are done with our questions. That is all from my side. Is there anything else that you want to ask? And you just smoothly end the interview. That's the best way to do it, right? So that is be kind and show empathy. Now coming to the third point, stay synced with the team. So here, do not miss team meetings, because now we are also working remotely a lot, right? So the only time in which we are in sync with our team is during the team meetings. And even during the team meetings, if you are missing, then you will miss out like a lot, isn't it? Because say your team gets together only once per day. If you miss that that particular chance, you are not in touch with the team for, say, almost 2 days, isn't it, until the next meeting. And that is not at all good. Only if you are in sync with the team, you will be able to prevent duplication of work. Say you're working on something and one of your teammates is also working on the same thing, then it is absolute waste of time, isn't it? Unless you want to find an efficient way of solving the problem, duplication of problem, we want to actually avoid it. Also, one more thing that you need to do is don't compete but contribute. So one of the most important point of going on team meets or staying in touch with teammates is the getting an opportunity to contribute to what they're working. Say they're working on a project, you need not go and sit with them for hours together and help them solve it or take up work. That also you can do. But the way I mean contribute is, say if they are working on something that is different, you can ask them the approach and you can give your opinion on it. We don't know which opinion will like help, right? So that is one way in which you can contribute. Of course, if you like that project and if you are also interested in it, you can ask them kindly as to whether you can also help them with that project, isn't it? So that's one way to contribute, but never compete. Don't think anyone in your company as your competition, because all of you are working towards the the growth of the company, not of any individual employee, isn't it? Say your teammate does something awesome and it enhances some part of the infrastructure or some part of your company, then your company is going to grow. And once your company is growing, eventually, yeah, it will lift you up along with itself, right? So do not compete, only contribute. There is no, doesn't make sense to compete, right? Now, coming to the fourth point of how to become a better SRE, shadow teammates on tasks and issues. Especially when you're a new joinee, you will actually not know the infra around. You will not know how the tasks are performed, what is the work culture, how people take up tasks, and what are the different steps that goes inside, right? So during this time, you can actually kindly ask your teammates or seniors on whether you can shadow them during the tasks that they're doing or activities that they're doing, or some sort of meetings that they are on. You can observe how they communicate with cross teams, what are the questions that they ask, when there is a requirement, what are the questions to which the answer is sought from, right? All those things you can find out only when you shadow your teammates. So shadowing here means you get on a call, or you are allowed to look at them doing it hands-on, right? So that is the fourth point. Now, coming to the fifth point, no spoon feeding, do homework. So when you're given a task, you should not expect your manager or your seniors to help you with each and every step. So there are, say a task has 10 steps, you should not ask them to give all the 10 steps and how to do each and every step, all the SOP that is required to perform that particular task, the commands, everything completely. So then what are you going to do from your side? Are you just going to control C, control V? As software engineers, we already do that a lot. But you yourself need to train yourself, and you need to question yourself. Before you do something, you need to ask yourself as to why is this step being done, right? What is this step? How is this step efficient? Are there any other steps that are efficient, or any other steps that are more reliable? Right, because sometimes even the practices that are being followed in a company for several years could also be a little bit less efficient practice. So in case you come across a more efficient practice and you pitch it to your team, who knows, they might even accept that and they might ask you to go ahead with that particular approach. Hence, there should be no spoon feeding. Do homework. Do a lot of innovation, do a lot of self-study, watch YouTube videos. Nowadays, everything is like available online for free, right? Right from the YouTube videos, podcasts, and blogs. They're all there everywhere, documentation. In fact, there are companies who have their engineering blogs, like PhonePe also has their engineering blogs where they have these technical stuff put up, right? So companies themselves are ready to provide education free of cost. So please make use of that, make a good use of that. Now, coming to the sixth point, be attentive and cautious on prod. So this is one important thing on production. So when it comes to production, many people just maybe see, listening to music is not a wrong thing. I'm not telling it is wrong, but people might keep listening to music and they might hum along the music and keep working on prod. Or many people go to the next level. They play a series or something, some sort of series. They binge watch the series and sit and they work on production. I usually don't recommend this. Music is also fine to a certain level where it helps you focus on the work. But watching series and working on production, it is seriously not recommended, because see, especially my mind is something that can do only one work at a time. I can focus only on one thing at a time. I cannot focus on two things. And I believe that is the case in most of the people. You might say like I am a multitasker. I do multitask, multiple things at once. But the actual truth is we are all like computers. Computers also, when it comes to multitasking, earlier the way they used to do is they used to switch between tasks. So if there are 10 tasks, it is divided into like, for these particular milliseconds, I'll do first task. Next particular milliseconds, it'll focus on second task. So like that, since it keeps switching between multiple tasks in a short interval, for humans, it is perceived as if the company, as if the computer is doing multiple tasks, but it actually isn't. So that could be the same case in our situation also. So say you run some sort of command on production that is not supposed to be run. It is, what if it becomes an irreversible situation, right? We do not want to cause such an issue. So attention is the key. Be attentive on prod. You see some sort of say anomaly, a little bit of anomaly somewhere, you should start questioning yourself as to why did that come. If those sort of errors are coming only on say those six machines, you should start thinking, why did that come up only on those six machines? What is different on those six machines than the entire infra that happened, right? Those sort of attentiveness you need to have. If you have some sort of monitoring tools, once in a while you can go and look at the graphs as to how things are performing. If there are certain deviations, you should pay a proper attention to it and try to reason things, right? So attention is really important. Now coming to the seventh point, think before you hit enter, right? That is very obvious. This is very relevant to the previous point that we were speaking. Think before you hit enter. Don't underestimate sudo, especially when you log in into a box. Many of them have an habit of as soon as you enter into the box, they'll be like sudo su hyphen, right? Or sudo su. They enter and then they start working. But I also do not recommend that. Once you get on a machine, remain in your user's privileges itself. Why do you need sudo for everything? You do not need for most of the things that you're going to log in and say do some normal BAU task. You don't need them. As long as you are not going to change some config or restart some service, that's why you are on this box. Then you don't need that. Even to check logs and all, even your normal user will be able to do that. So you should keep that in your mind, right? Don't underestimate sudo. And at the same time, have an habit of working in something like tmux or a screen session, right? Because we all know internet has grown to such a level that it's properly reliable, the connection never drops and all those things, but still it is better to expect the unexpected and always work on a tmux session. Now you might ask, what is tmux session and why should I work on that? I will answer that in case you're not aware. So when you enter into a tmux session and you run a command, say there is an internet disconnection from your side or your laptop powers off or something, if you did not run it on a tmux session, the command just ends halfway there, right? And it might cause serious effects in case the command was not run completely, right? If the program is not able to handle those things. But instead of that, if you run this command in a tmux session, and when your internet connection gets cut off or you exit from the machine abruptly or something like that, the command will still keep running there in the tmux session, because tmux, like it runs as a root process and root as a parent, and it doesn't come under your user. So when your user is no longer there, that process doesn't become like, say, what to say, it doesn't become a zombie process or something. It still keeps running there, or orphan, I guess it's called an orphan process. So it doesn't happen and it keeps running. So that's how tmux and screen are very useful. Now coming to the eighth point, keep version control systems in sync. So imagine you have some sort of proxy servers, and for those proxy servers you have various configurations inside the proxy servers. As an organization, it is always in habit to keep say if they have GitHub or GitLab in their organization, they keep those GitHub or GitLab configurations in sync with the Nginx server's proxy configuration. This is because, say, one fine day, what happens, I mean, it wouldn't be a fine day in this case, because the example we're going to see is the Nginx server, say it crashes, both the Nginx server crashes and you're not able to bring them up. So what would you do? You need to bring up new machines and you'll have to configure that machine. But if you're not able to access the old server, where will you go for the configurations? So that's where this version control system, where you have stored the configuration and kept it in sync with the Nginx, that comes into play. You use those configurations on these new machines and you're good to go. You're up and running, provided you have some sort of automation tool which you can use to apply the configurations or something. You'll be up and running in like say 5 to 10 minutes, right? So that is one of the advantages of why we have a version control system to maintain your configuration. And also one more thing is you will know who changed what, right? You have a configuration system, and anyone does a change of configuration here, first of all, when you want to merge the configuration, you can configure the version control system in such a way that only the person will be able to only raise a merge request. He'll not be able to merge himself. There should be a second person who has to review and merge it, right? So you can maintain all those things, and hence it's a good way to not make changes on the system directly, but to make the changes first on the version control system and to use some sort of automation software to sync the version control system and your sort of services that you're using. So these are the 8 points that I wanted to discuss on how you can become a better SRE today. So I'm definitely sure these points help you a lot, because these are some things that I follow in my work day to day. Like, SRE is all about the mindset. Communication is important. Stay synced with the team. Contribute to your team. Shadow teammates on tasks and issues. No spoon feeding. Do homework. Be attentive and cautious on production. Think before you hit enter, and keep the version control system in sync. So if you think I have missed any of these steps here, or if you want to add more points, please feel free to comment those. I would also love to learn more on this, on how to become a better SRE today, right? Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I'll see you guys in the next episode. Thank you. Bye. Take care. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast. I'm Tarun, a person who wants to bring a positive change to this world through programming. You can follow me on Instagram at developer_Tarun, that is DeveloperTharun. Also, you can find my podcast on Anchor FM, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Radio Public, Stitcher, and many other platforms. Thank you and have a great day.